All right. Good evening, my friends. We find ourselves on Kafei Amid Base, I believe, right? We're on 25B, I believe, is where we left off together. We are up to the words Gufa, which is like a little over a quarter way down, somewhere between a quarter way, halfway down. And we are continuing to talk about when one is exempt from fulfilling certain mitzvos. Broadly speaking, there's going to be two kinds of, there's going to be kind of like a b'tor we talk about. They kind of all fall under this idea of osing b'mitzvah, pater min ha-mitzvah. Though we did mention that even if you're not physically involved in a mitzvah, if you're preoccupied with thinking about how to perform a mitzvah, that could also grant you permission or requirement not to engage in another mitzvah while you're dealing with the first one, even mentally. So we're up towards Gufa. You have the place, 25B, Chafei Amid Aleph, of Amid Beis. Okay. Gufa. Gufa meaning that we referenced this before. Amar Avava Bar Zav Amar Ram. Avil Chayv B'chol Mitzvos HaMuris BaTorah Chutz Mitzvilin. Someone who is in mourning is chayv in all the mitzvahs in the Torah, with the exception of tefillin for the first day. Shari Nemar Behen Pe'er Mid Amar LeRachmano Yecheskel, because God says to the prophet Yecheskel, that you should continue to wear this pe'er, this what's the rendering? Like glorified, beautiful thing on your head. So as hu d'mechayeves, you are obligated, Yecheskel, avo kulei alma petire, meaning Hashem was telling Yecheskel when he was finding out that he was losing his wife, that you still have to wear tefillin. By the fact that God had to tell Yecheskel to wear tefillin, we infer that the average person, when they go into their first day of Avilos, they do not wear tefillin. Bahani mili, but Yom Rishon, on the first day, Dechziv, Bachriseha Kiyom Mar. So it tells us Kayom, so on the first day, it is so bitter that you do not wear your tefillin. Now, this is an interesting point that it occurred to me, and I was glad I saw it shows up. I just did some noise coming from somewhere. Okay. So Rishon Zalman Orbach picks up on this. He says, wait a minute. In fact, it's not Rishon Zalman, actually. It's the Aruch who cites the Ritva, and that's all being channeled through the Ha'aruch of Rishon Zalman Orbach. So he says, the Aruch HaNer, sorry, Aruch HaNer asks, so what's the okay? That's the answer. The question is, wait a minute, is he only not supposed to wear tefillin? I thought an avel is not allowed to learn Torah. So one answer is that avel is only forbidden to learn areas of Torah that gladden his heart, whereas other areas like learning the basics of avelus, for instance, he would still be fulfilling a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. So he's not fundamentally forbidden to learn Torah during Avelos, just Torah that's going to give him simcha. Though he does infer from the Ritva that rak does that ika heter ach ein olav chiyuv. So actually, the Ritva, though the Aruch HaNer infers from the Ritva, that actually one fundamentally is pater from Talmud Torah when they are in Avelos. So it's an interesting question. When someone's in Avelos, is it that they're chayav in Talmud Torah, but they're just limited on what kind of Torah they're allowed to learn? Or is an Avel actually exempted completely from Talmud Torah at that point, just there's some practical areas that he has to study to know how to keep Hilchos Avelos? So that's a machlokas, it would seem, between the Aruch HaNer and his understanding of the Ritva and Moed Katan. Okay, that is point number one. Moving on to the next section of the Gemara.
I
But
ask a question.
Ava bar Zavda Amaran. Avel, so right, we're keeping on our theme of Avelos, of mourning. Avel chayiv v'sukkah, and Avel is chayiv to sin v'sukkah. Pshita, well, why wouldn't he be chayiv to sin v'sukkah? Matatema, hol v'amar Ava bar Zavda Amaran mitzar pater v'sukkah, hainami mitzarhu. There's a general principle. Most Rishonim, Tosas and others, Ritva and many other Rishonim, understand that there's a principle called mitzta'ar pater min ha-sukkah, that one who is distressed by the sukkah is exempt. The reason for that is because teishu kein tedirut, that we treat our sukkahs like our homes. If you are distressed, if there's a hornet's nest inside your house, you would leave your house. Likewise, if there's a hornet's nest inside your sukkah, you would leave your sukkah. But what's the difference over here? Kamash malon, hani militzar de memela. When the tsar is coming memela from being inside the sukkah, there's something to the sukkah that's causing you distress, then you would be exempt from being in the sukkah. Avlahacha ihu hu tekam mitzar nafshe. But here, he is feeling tsar internally, not due to the sukkah. He's feeling grief over his loss. But the sukkah really should be a non-factor here. So he needs to be able to kind of settle his mind enough that he's going to get out of the house and go into the sukkah. Now, what's interesting is Rashi uses this language. He says, Chova love, liyashiv dato le mitzvah. He has an obligation to settle his mind, perform the mitzvah. So this is interesting because, I mean, I think it's fascinating just like from a pastoral mental health standpoint, the idea that, you know, get over it. Just go ahead and do it. You know, that's, I feel like it's something that people are much less likely to say today to someone who's experiencing grief. But number two, just from a strictly halakhic and Talmudic standpoint, we don't tell the chassan on his wedding night, get over it, whatever, put that to the side, say Shema with Kavana. So why over here would it be different? I'm not sure. I'm sure someone picks up on it. I just haven't seen anyone address it. But then again, I didn't, you know, look at every last parish. So I'm sure someone does.
There's a question.
Yes, Paul.
Is Yom Rishon the morning after the death or the morning after the burial?
Morning after. I think that's actually part of the sugya. I mean, definitely. Well, the thing is like this. After death, one is in aninus. So you're not performing any mitzvahs because you're in aninus. But I believe on day of the burial has that element of the tefillin as well. So it applied to, meaning up until and through the burial. But at any rate, one as an onin is not fulfilling any mitzvos aseh at that point. Yeah, so that's a good point. Okay, now back into the Gemara. The Amar Rabbi, right? Let's switch things up. Let's go from one life cycle to the opposite end. Let's talk about chasnas now. Amar Avavar Zav Amar Rav Chosan V'Hashushvinen. So for our Mishnah folks, I think it's the Gloria and Phyllis and Melissa. So that you guys are from the Mishnah crew, so you'll appreciate. We had a Mishnah Baba Basra that talked about this recently. So Shushvinen are kind of like the groomsmen and the bridesmaids, and they're like the people who kind of are taking, sending gifts and helping make arrangements, and they're the ones who are taking care, kind of like, you know, the best man or whatever the equivalent is for the woman. That's what the Shushvinen are. So Chasan v'Shushvinen, v'chol b'nei ha'chuppah, and all those who are involved in the chuppah, so that might mean like immediate family who are involved in the arrangements, Peturim min ha-sukkah kol shiva. They are exempt from a sukkah all 7 days while this is taking place. My time off, we should debal the michti lichlu b'sukkah, because they need to, the michti Rashi says, l'smoach, to celebrate, to rejoice, and to eat in the sukkah. Okay, well, the lichlu b'sukkah. Celebrate. Oh, sorry, the lichlu. Right. So the question is, why not do it in the sukkah? So the answer is, ain't simcha el b'chuppah. There's only simcha at a chuppah. Okay. B'lichlu b'sukkah l'lichlu b'chuppah. Why not go ahead and just eat in the sukkah and then have the, you know, and then have the celebrations at the chuppah? Ain't simcha el b'makom suda. Because very important point, there's only simcha when you're having the food. So this is the importance of, I guess, having a kiddush and having, you're right? Because if there's no food, no one's going to be happy. So you can have the best event possible, but if there's right, that's if there's no scotch there, then what kind of event, right, Paul? That's so okay, right? No one would just come to hear my shir, but the scotch. Well, You guys come to just hear the share, so you guys get credit for that.
I came for this year.
Well, you're all here, so and unfortunately, I can't give you scotch through the computer screen, but maybe we'll get together and do scotch and Gemara one day. Maybe for our CM, God willing, one day whenever we finish Sukkah, yours down the line. All right, going further. So Liav the chuppah of a Sukkah. So why not just make the Sukkah the chuppah? Now, by the way, when we're saying chuppah here, I should clarify. We don't mean the that canopy chuppah where the Erison takes place. Tosafos will explain that in a moment. What we're referring to is that the Chasan and Kala kind of have an established place of residence where they're celebrating during the Shivas Yemei HaMishkan, the 7 days of celebration following the actual ceremony. So the question is, so I don't get it. Just make their established residence for the Shivas Yemei HaMishkan inside a sukkah, and then you got no problems. So Abai says the reason we wouldn't want to do that is because the sukkah is going to be all the way on top of the house, and if the chasan goes out, it's kind of like in a secluded area. So we're afraid that when the chasan leaves, someone else will come in, and there'll be an issue of yichud. Rava Amar Mishum Tzar Chasan, because it's the opposite issue. There will be a lack of privacy because it's a sukkah. The sukkah is not insulated. It's not. I don't know if the houses were that good quality back then either. But you probably have one wall open. So he says, Ubosh Lesachik in Kalasa, Rashi says. He's not going to be, comfortable being intimate with his wife when they're in a sukkah. Very reasonably so. So what's the difference between these two explanations? Mai binayu, ikabinayu, inshi denavki. What if it's a sukkah is in an area where people are constantly going by? So the ma'adar mishum yichud leka. If your concern is yichud, well, there's no yichud anymore because people are constantly walking by. And but the ma'adar mishum tzarchasim. But if it's because the chasid wants privacy, well, ika. Then you do have a problem because this is the lack of privacy in this scenario. And Amar it's unclear if Zera is just giving a chumra, a personal chumra, or if he's arguing. We'll just read it as a chumra. When I was eating, I would eat in a sukkah. And when I was celebrating, I'd celebrate in the chuppah. And my heart rejoiced because I was able to do both. I was able to eat in the sukkah, and I was able to celebrate in the chuppah. And I didn't have to compromise on either of them. So either Isaiah is saying is, this is ridiculous. Eat in the sukkah and then go hang out in the chuppah. Big deal. Or he's saying is, this is my personal chumrah. And what could give me more, what could make me rejoice? What could give me greater simcha than the simcha being able to fulfill the mitzvah of sukkah? Right? So very, very firm of Isaiah. Now, if you look at Tosfos, Dibor Amaskil Ein Simcha El B'Chuppah. It's the second to last Tosos on the Amud there. Tosos makes a very important point. It's actually fortuitous for my own personal learning because I like to review reference Svarim every now and then just to stay on top of things I should know. So I was going through a section of Hanisuin Kehilchasam. It's a sefer in which it's what it sounds like the laws of marriage. Nicely collated with lots and lots and lots of sources and references. So there is a machlokas in there whether Sheva Brachot can be done anywhere or does it need to be specifically at the residence of the Chasan and Kala. Now, I don't know anyone who keeps that, but Tosa says our Gemara proves to us that you could only say the Lashon of Hasimcha B'mono, which is a special lead up to it when it's in the residence of the Chasan and Kala. Don't take it from me. Look at Tosfos. Mashmi kan dim yotza chasam mechupaso afiu kalos ima b'holchem lechol b'vayis acher. If they go somewhere else to eat, ein mevarchet shasimcha b'mono v'lo bir chaschasanim, nor do they make the sheva brachos came into ein simcha ella b'chuppah. Because if the Gemara is making such a big deal that no, the celebration needs to be in the chuppah where they're residing. Like, why can't it just be anywhere? We see from the fact that this whole entire mini sugya here is makbid, that the celebration needs to be in the chuppah. It doesn't just mean the celebration, it means those brachos about shesuch v'mono, and also the Sheva brachos after benching are only done when it's at that special residence designated for the chassan and kala. So this is that's a position of Tosos. It's a very, I mean, not that Tosos needs me to approve of it, but it seems like a very fair inference from the Gemara. But I think because nowadays we don't make a special residence just for the Sheva brachos, it seems that we haven't adopted that chumash. Okay, so just some interesting halacha lemaisa that comes along over here. Okay, back to the Gemara, my friends. Back to the Gemara. Second to last line, the bottom of Chaf Ayin Beis. Tanu Rabbanon, Chasan, all right, continuing on the topic. Chasan, Tashashvinen, the Cholbani Achobas, all right, the Chasan and his band of merry men who were involved in the marriage arrangements. They're exempt from davening. This usually refers to Shemona Esrei. They're pater from wearing tefillin because you cannot have shichrus v'kalus rosh. You can't be shikr. You have to be. You're not allowed to be lighthearted when wearing tefillin. That and you're not allowed to have and frivolity is an issue when wearing tefillin. So that you know, what's interesting is this is kind of like that svara of saying Birchas Kohanim at Shacharis on Simchas Torah morning. Because we know everyone is going to have maybe one too many scotches, and we can't then do Birchas Kohanim later. So it's kind of like an acknowledgement that this is what's going to happen. Let's figure out around. So you can see right here from Rashi's explaining the Gemara that we know people, there's going to be Kalas Roach. We know there's going to be some kind of frivolity. So may as well tell them just don't wear tefillin then. Let's cut our losses. However, everyone is obligated to say Kriyas Shema. Because Rashi says, Yicholim yashiv daitzon, according to the Shita, that really all you need is kavana for the Shema Yisrael Shema. Come on, you're telling me they can't find like 10 seconds to just say Shema with kavana? So okay, there's a slightly different opinion on the top of Chafav and Aleph. We should Rabbi Shila Amru Chasam Pater Vashashin v'Cholbnei Achupachayavim. That only the chassan is pater from Kriyas Shema, but everyone else is chayim. So, meaning the chassan actually gets a dispensation. Even he, we don't expect him to be able to have that kind of peace of mind, presence of mind, I should say, to be able to recite Kriyas Shema with kavanah at that point. All right, very good. This next Gemara I find very fascinating. And we're going to see another piece from Rosh Hashanah Zalman. Rosh Hashanah Zalman is my good friend tonight. I mean, he's always a right good friend, good leader of Klal Yisrael. But I've been very much enjoying his Ha'aros on this sugya. Tanya. Amar Rabbi Chanai ben Akavya. Kosvei Svarim Tefillin Mezuzos. Hein v'tagrein v'chol oskim melech ha'shamayim. So those who are writing Sifrei Torah, Tefillin, Mezuzos, and all the merchants, and the merchants who are working with those merchants, who are working to get those into the right hands so people can wear them and learn from them, and anyone who's working in the service of heaven, like those who are selling Tcheles, Peturim Mikriyashman Minatfilo, right? Ironically, you're working on Tefillin, so now you're from wearing the Tefillin. You're putting from all these things. And from all mitzvos in the Torah, when you're involved in this malacha, because one who is involved in a mitzvah is exempt from partaking in the next mitzvah. Now, there's a lot to, there's a number of questions we could ask. So I'll give you, we'll do two things. The first point that Rosh Hashanah Zalman makes on this Gemara is that there is a very remarkable Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham says based on Rashi. The davka imocher l'shem shemayim, specifically, exclusively, if one is selling these items for the sake of heaven, then he has the patur. He has osig mitzvah patur and a mitzvah to exempt it from other mitzvahs. Alam kavanah l'parnasah, if you're doing it just to make money, lo chashiv osig mitzvah. You're not considered to be involved in a mitzvah. You have to have kavanah to be involved in a mitzvah for us to say osig mitzvah patur and a mitzvah. Twitch, you're showing us on Horvath's like, what? Since when do we say that, right? And who says, why not both? Are they mutually exclusive? Like, can I not be doing this l'shem shemayim because I believe that getting tefillin and mezuzahs into people's hands is important, but also I need to make a parnasa? Like, why are these in contradiction with each other? So he answers, remember we learned this last week. What is the source for the patur of osik ba mitzvah patur min a mitzvah? We learn from those words that we learn from the ta at the end, the suffix. Shiftecha b'veisecha. That when you are involved in your own pursuits, that's when you're chayav to say Kriya Shema. But when you're involved in God's pursuits, that's when there's a patur. So therefore, mikri didach. It's no longer called you're sitting or you're going. Shemayim. But that's only true if you are doing it because it's not for your own benefit, it's for God's benefit. Therefore, if someone is doing it for their own parnasa, then you don't have the patur. You're not considered osig ba mitzvah, patur min mitzvah. So which again, it's still he leaves it as a bit of a tzarichian because like, how do you even parse that? Like, if I make some money off it, does that mean I'm not doing it l'shem shemayim anymore? Can one be ikker and one be tafel? Okay. The second point that he makes, which is something I've wondered for myself for a long time, and maybe it's something I should research if I feel that I'm capable enough of doing it. Like we Tali's at this age where we send in a mitzvah note. Like, but what's a mitzvah, right? There's a in Hilchos Shabbos, we have something called a shvus the shvus b'makom mitzvah, that asking a non-Jew to do malacha for you is forbidden rabbinically. So if you ask a non-Jew to do something which is just rabbinically forbidden for you, it's doubly removed. Shvus the shvus, and you're allowed to ask a non-Jew to violate an Issur d'Rabbanan when it's b'makom mitzvah, when it's to accomplish a mitzvah. The issue is, like, what's considered a mitzvah? So, possibly making sure I can have hot food for a Suda, that seems like a mitzvah. They say my daughter drew a nice picture of me today. I handed it as a mitzvah note. They say I'm busy working right now and working, so I can make money, so I can put food on the table, and it's a mitzvah to feed my family. So maybe I don't have to keep any mitzvahs because I'm doing some right. So the issue is that he says d'lobar ma nikra osik ba mitzvah. Dari barov hazmanim osika adam ba'asiyas chesed o davar achersha mitzvah. If you're like a good, upstanding person, you'll find that many times you're probably doing some chesed. You're probably doing some mitzvah, loosely interpreted. So maybe I don't have to keep any mitzvahs in the Torah anymore because I'm always involved in some mitzvah, some way or another, if we're willing to be elastic enough with the definition of a mitzvah. So he doesn't really come to a conclusion on the matter. He leaves it as a tzarichian. And I think that's an important question. What do we mean when we say mitzvah? How do we circumscribe that? Clearly, there needs to be a line drawn. There needs to be some kind of threshold or definition, but Rishon Zalman doesn't provide one. So, okay. Well, if he left it as a Tzarichian, we'll leave it as a Tzarichian for now. But I am interested in the topic, so I may very well put this together as a shiur at some point. Okay, final piece of Gemara, and then we'll end off with this. This next piece of Gemara we actually saw in Tosfos last week. Tanur Rabbanan, Holchi Drachim Bayom Peturim HaSukkah. Those who are traveling during the day, are patur from a sukkah by yom, during the day. V'chayavim b'layla, but if they are no longer traveling at night, they're chayav to eat in a sukkah at night. Halchei d'ragim b'layla, if you're traveling at nighttime, patur min a sukkah b'layla, v'chayavim b'yom, then you are patur at night while you're traveling, but during the day, you would be obligated to eat in a sukkah. Halchei d'ragim b'yom b'layla, if you're traveling at day and night nonstop, then you're exempt and day and night. Okay, we got all the permutations. But when we add in this, the following factor, same question could be asked here, by the way. But if you're going for the purpose of a mitzvah, you're pater during the day and night. Now, what's a mitzvah? Rashi says, Lishmoa hadrasha lahak l'pnei resh galusa, to hear the drasha and to greet the Reish Galusa, to greet one of the great leaders, rabbinic leaders, on Yom Tov. That's considered a mitzvah. Okay, so we have some examples. We know of some things that are mitzvos, but again, we still, Rashi's not telling us, like, where do I draw the line? Anyway, Kihadra Chisarava Ravuna, Kihava Aili Bishabs Daragla, the Bay Reish Galusa. So when they were going up there to visit the Reish Galusa on Yom Tov, Avugana Araxa the Sura, they stayed on the banks of Sura, and Amre Anan Shluchei Mitzvah Anan Upaturin. Since we are Shluchei Mitzvah, go hear the Drashen to go greet the Reish Galusa on Yom Tov. Therefore, we are Pater from Sukkah because we're going for a Dvar Mitzvah. But then the issue is, like, I don't know, like owning, going on a Chol Moed trip. You're supposed to have some owning on Chol Moed, right? You're supposed to enjoy it because it's a Yom Tov. So maybe if we're going to Adventureland, or, you know, we're going to Rye Playland or something, it's a Dvar Mitzvah. We don't need a sukkah now. So I'm sure there are those who address this, but that's the issue, is the ambiguity of circumscribing what is legitimately a mitzvah purpose versus what is not. It could come back to that point in the Magen Avraham, possibly, of, you know, is it L'shem Shemayim or not? But then you run into the same problem. Like, how do you even start delineating what is purely L'shem Shemayim, what's not? Like, do you have to be honest with yourself? Is there a way to quantify that? So Rav Shlomo Zalman leaves it at Tzarech Iyun. We'll leave it as a Tzarech Iyun. It requires further analysis, but we'll leave it over here. We're already well over more than a quarter way down. Any questions before we conclude? Paul?
It may be a mundane question. Going back to the end of the other daf,
yeah,
I don't understand the logistics. So if there's a wedding, I understand the groom is exempt from tefillin the next morning. I don't understand why. But are the groomsmen exempt the next morning?
No, I don't think it's the next morning. I think it's just while they are involved in the mitzvah of taking. Now, there's a broader question, which is, why just the people who are involved in the logistics? Isn't everyone involved in the mitzvah of being Mesameach Chasim V'Kala? This, again, is that same issue of, like, where do you draw the line of what's considered mitzvah, what's considered not, you know? But also, there's a separate question of, are you being honest, if you're being honest with yourself, like, am I really not able to do, can I not have my cake and eat it? Like, are these two mutually exclusive? Like Tosus said on Chaf Hayam and Aleph, like, many times, you don't have Osimus Apatrim and Mitzvah because it's not like, it's mutually exclusive. You could do both at the same time for many things.
But this contemplates a wedding in the morning, correct?
I guess filming, yeah, because of the filming. Yeah. I mean, many. Yeah, I mean, I know many times we have chuppahs as we approach the evening, but there's no reason a wedding couldn't be. In fact, by the way, if you have a couple who makes sure to fast, it may even be in their interest to have it earlier in the day, so they're not fasting the entire day. All right, but yeah, that's a good observation. Yeah, it's a good point, Paul.
Thank you.
We wouldn't be wearing tefillin night. All right. But you know, the thing is, you know, those who are involved with the Shavuot brachos arrangements, it's possible to get a patur from that as well. So you have to keep that in mind. All right. Joe, was that were you trying to? Or you're good. You're just adjusting your computer. Okay, very good. Wonderful learning together, everyone. Have a great Shabbos.
Good Shabbos. Thank you.
Thank you.